Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney on this Wednesday around the country. Company for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found their better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. What's going on? Hope everybody's all right. Obviously spent a little time on the Rockets. Mm-hmm. That's to quit whining, please. Stop complaining. You had a 22-point lead in the second half.
Yeah, you're right.
And you complained about one bucket that happened or not bucket, that whatever bucket that was taken away or never counted, however you want to frame it, when you're up by double-digit points with 8 minutes to go in the basketball game.
Yeah,
stop
you're
whining.
Right. Let me look at the sports schedule tonight. What's big? Anything tonight? I guess the Lakers playing Utah is big, but, you know, I'm not watching Virginia playing Purdue, but that game will be over before I get to
the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Yeah, ACC Big Ten Challenge, 7:15. But I'm not watching any of it tonight.
You're not?
Because tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, BT.
Finally.
The star.
Oh, yeah.
No, man versus. Yeah, I mean, you're the host, so you're kind of the star.
The Bears are the star.
Man versus Bear. This long, secretive, held show that you've been doing press on for the last 3 days. It premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Discovery. You got to check this out because BT showed me some of the videos, of the pictures. Tell us about this, man. This is a cool project.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It is, for our listeners, they know I was in Utah this summer, mm-hmm. and I was popping in and out.
For like a month.
For a month I was, and then I had to go back to finish a scene. It was just something I didn't pursue. It was one of those things, serendipitously, it just came across, we have the same agent, mm-hmm. it came across our agent's desk, yep. and he shot it to me. He's like, you know, they know you, they like you, what do you think? And I remember reading the premise, and I'm like, I mean, this is a wildly ambitious shoot. And I remember I was in an Uber going to the NFL draft. We were doing our show there in Tennessee in Nashville. And I'm in the back of the Uber going to Newark Airport, and I'm reading this. And I'm like, wait, 5 weeks in Utah. I'm like, I can't even do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm reading the premise of the show, and I'm like, it's humans versus bears? I'm like, no, this has to be something like the what was that? When what's his name raced the shark? Why am I forgetting the swimmer's name? Jeez.
Phelps.
When Phelps yes. raced the shark.
Yes.
But it's not like that. I mean, it truly, there's no theater of the mind. There's no manipulation of cameras. It is literally humans, both men and women, competing against bears, one of whom is 1,400 pounds, 9 feet tall. Imagine Andre the Giant with 500 or 700 more pounds attached to him. It's a crazy, ambitious premise that is crazy. That really, I mean, I saw things that I can't explain. Like, you just have to watch the show, and if you want to be a little frightened, if you want to be highly intrigued, if you want suspense, if you want a little human interest, mm-hmm. which you certainly do get, I mean, this is Discovery Channel. So this is, I have been a fan of the Discovery Channel for my entire life. I mean, just about.
Yep.
And even though I grew up in New York, I've always had an affinity for the outdoors, wildlife. So to be able to go and do this and, have my name on some level, yeah, I'm the host, but the stars of the bears and the competitors and all that stuff, to do a project with Discovery. And I've sat on this since June. Tonight is finally the night. It's been a wild ride. Give it a shot. I promise you'll go back for the second episode.
Yep.
It's really going to be, it's awesome. I've seen a lot of it.
Man versus Bear on Discovery tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Were you ever curious about trying to compete? Because, you know, I did that show, and I wanted the one I did a couple years ago. I was like, dude, I can do that.
You're an athlete. Dude.
And I failed.
No, but you're an athlete.
Were you ever?
No, you're an athlete.
I'm just telling you, you were an athlete.
Come on, man. I got that question asked a few times. Actually, TMZ asked me that today. And I said, no, I know my physical limitations. I've had Tommy John surgery. I ruptured my Achilles back in the day. I had back surgery last summer. All I want to do is go and do the chest workout a couple days a week, right? Go and hit a golf ball sideways on the weekend and play ball with my kids. That's all I want. That's all I need. I don't need to get slammed into wooden pillars like people did. I don't need to go inside of a 9-foot-tall titanium steel ball that weighs over 1,000 pounds and get smashed by a behemoth beast, an apex predator. I'm going to pass. Give me the microphone. I have my little stand over here. I got the Discovery logo, and you can shoot, and you can compete, and I'll commentate.
Nice.
And I'm happy with that job. So I appreciate the pop,
I'm looking forward to it, man.
I can't wait. It's going to be a special night in our house, in our home. So I'm really looking forward to that. We'll get back to some of these calls. Set up the college football playoff series, the rankings from last night, which we will do.
But let's set it back up real quick. BT and I started the top of our show talking about James Harden and the fact that replay has become – disliked by a lot of the coaches, highlighted last night because James Harden had a dunk that didn't count, and a lot of people are blaming that on the reason they gave up a 15-point lead and ultimately lost in double overtime. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But it evolved into this conversation about how the game has changed and the scoring is just out of control. Yeah, they lost. He scored 50. Mm-hmm. He scored 60 in three quarters over the weekend. Football got, like, good but not superstar quarterbacks throwing for 5,000 yards in a season, right? The numbers are stupid. Baseball, I mean, rookie home run hitters, Alonzo's, Peter Mets are hitting 50
he's
home
gonna
runs.
He's going to get paid even more than he was.
I know.
Before he broke the news.
Now he is, but
now he's definitely going to remain a Met. They'll pay him.
But the games have changed. There's no goons left in hockey.
Nope, like, you got to skate. You got to handle.
They're legislating, like, fighting out of the game.
Pitchers are throwing 103 miles an hour.
Right.
Sometimes 105.
Everything has changed in sports. Some for the good because it makes it a little bit more entertaining. Some for the bad because even though it's more entertaining, it's not watchable.
Yeah, there's less defensive resistance. It's almost indifferent.
There's no defensive resistance, especially in some of these sports in the regular season.
Except hockey. Hockey, still, even though there's no goons,
you know what, hockey,
they still compete.
Yeah, because
you can't mail it in.
Well, hockey's the one sport where you can't disrespect the sport.
Correct.
Because you'll get it.
Correct. That's up there as well. We don't talk a lot of hockey on the show. You know, what's the old adage here? When it's Stanley Cup playoff time, we roll in our buddy Jeremy Roenick. He tells us what's happening.
Yep.
And we roll in a few. Pierre Maguire comes on, and he tells us what's happening, and we go from there.
Yeah.
But hockey is part of the equation. So if you think what we pose to you, it's on our poll question on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, which of the majors has truly changed the most? And is it for the good, or is it for the bad, or somewhere in between? So that's the premise. Get back to the call, see what's up. All right, let's go to Las Vegas. And William has us up on 11:40 a.m. William, Tiki and Tierney, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. First, I'm going to tell you basketball hasn't changed. I've called them before, and every time people say that, it makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
Wait, you say basketball hasn't changed?
No.
From what point? From what era?
You mean playing defense hasn't changed? The lack of it, I should say.
What you guys brought up as far as the positionless and the big guys not being where they usually are, that's just the perception of it has changed. It's a lazy, unimaginative perception. It's still the same game. You look at what the Lakers are doing, and there's a reason why they've improved on defense and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stay-at-home center who does what a center does, and you can have Anthony Davis and everybody else, all your forwards go out there, perimeter. But
I'm going to let you fire back. Let me ask you a question. How many times, and I don't mean at the halftime as the buzzer is about to go off for the end of the first half, how many times you see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar take a three-point shot in his career? A conventional three. How many? How about Moses Malone? How about Shaq? How about there was no shot with Russell, there was no three. The point is, you're wrong. The game has changed incredibly.
The players have changed.
What are you watching?
But to your point, the game might be similar still, but the players have changed to the point where it's different, right?
The game's not the same. Pick and roll wasn't as prominent as it was back in the day.
Go ahead, William.
Go ahead, William. Go ahead.
Here's what's happening. I've said this before. They don't want to develop centers anymore. It is the one position that you
But why not? Want to but why not? I mean,
because it's time and money.
If no, because the 3-point shot's worth more than the 2-point shot. That's why. It's simple math, William.
If you look at it the way it is right now,
okay,
right, the center, the biggest, heaviest guy out there,
yep.
The one guy on the court that needs all 4 years. When you've gone into this one-and-done era, you don't develop the center.
That's a good point.
That is one position on the floor. It's a grown man. And if you can't develop your center, he doesn't have the bulk. So you got him out there playing guards. You got him out there playing all kinds of stuff that he's not supposed to play. If you look at some of the big centers, I mean, go back to Bynum. All the way now, these guys get injuries because their bodies aren't hardened by the college game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He had a knee injury.
That's right. I mean, all these big guys are that way.
Yeah.
Now, football, I think football has changed for the worse. And if you look at a lot of in the mid-90s, a lot of the guys like Steve Young, Troy Aikman, a lot of guys who got knocked out of their careers because of injuries and stuff like that. You look at it now, I'm wondering if a lot of these guys that are quote-unquote Hall of Famers would have survived in an era where you could actually hit the quarterback.
That's a good point.
You sound like a hell of a sports fan. Yeah. I would actually love to continue that basketball conversation over a couple of pops in a bar. I fundamentally disagree, but I respect your passion. I respect the way you lay it out. Good job on that.
But think about if Brady could get hit, like teed off on.
Anybody.
I'm thinking more of the quarterbacks that are like less mobile. Mm-hmm. They could get teed off and not like Ben Roethlisberger.
You mean like Eli? Like the older ones or the younger ones?
No, like the guys that he's talking about, like the Hall of Famers quarterbacks who are protected.
Dan Marino couldn't move.
True.
Dan Marino could not
move.
But
he was just special.
He had a rocket, quick release, too.
Let's just call it Marino special.
I think he's one of the best. I think he never gets classified where he should.
Exactly. If you could tee off on like the Peyton Mannings of the world or even Eli's or the Big Ben doesn't matter because he's so big it didn't matter. But like Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
Would they have had the careers?
No chance. No way.
So in some ways it's helped because it's allowed the star, put that in quote, the star quarterback-driven league to survive and exist for so long.
Yeah.
But in others, it like the toughness is gone.
For sure, which is what attracts most people to it initially.
Exactly. It's football.
I hear you. Let's go to Marvin, who's out in Sacramento. He's watching us on TV, CBS Sports Network. Marvin, how are you?
How are you guys?
Hey.
I'm doing fine.
What's up,
hey,
buddy?
Listen, let me make a shout out before I say what I have to say.
Shout it up.
My high school buddy, Mike Schwartz, is the assistant tennis coach at Monmouth University.
Okay.
In New Jersey.
Yeah. Fantastic job. And also, I wanted to shout out to Mike, and I also wanted to say my alma mater, San Jose State, has a sleeper quarterback. This guy is dynamite.
All right.
Spartans. Yeah. Okay. All right. Got drop. That's an eclectic call
yeah,
so
you're
far.
Right. All right,
we got Monmouth and San Jose State.
I know, right?
Go ahead.
Who?
But what I wanted to say about the change in sports is that the palming in basketball is so bad, carrying the ball, and the three-point shot have ruined the professional game.
I think some people would argue it's made it more entertaining in a lot of ways because you can come back in games. You know, it's not like you're chipping away. I mean, you can come back in a couple of possessions, whereas before, just a 20-point lead.
But that works two ways because then the need to play the game with integrity diminished. Thanks for the call, Marvin. Because if I know, at least in theory, you know what, 17, 18 points, if we get hot in the third quarter, we come back, we wipe out a big deficit, then you don't have a game with balance. You have these wild fluctuations. Some people like that. Some people love seeing a 20-2 run, a 27-6 run. I mean, I like it occasionally, for sure. I mean, it's good theater when it's in smaller doses, but I mean, every night, unless you're a horrendous team like the Knicks the other night, fall behind by 40 with the Bucks, you know they're not making a run.
No.
But if you have a modicum of talent and there's an element of indifference on the opposition, even if it's for a six-minute span, you can get back in the game.
And a good coach like the Spurs last night.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. At one point, it felt like they were laying down. You gave them a little bit of a window to go through. They're jumping through and robbing the house.
That's right. And they won it.
Exactly what happened.
Freddie's in Utah. Buddy Fred. What's up, Fred? How are you? Utah, home of man versus bear.
Hey, I'll be watching tonight.
Nice.
I'm upset that I didn't know that you were here all that time and I didn't get a chance to meet you, man.
Hey, man, I had to sign private documents. I mean, they took every penny. I would risk every penny in my existence if this leaked out. It was a very big endeavor. Discovery wouldn't let me talk to anybody.
Except for me.
Okay. Except Tiki.
We'll meet up, brother. We'll meet up.
I love
hey, to. I think the game of basketball has changed the most because I'm old school just like you, BT, and there's no way that, you know, and what we were watching in the 90s, that wasn't basketball either. That was war.
That's true.
What we do down on West 4th Street and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mug ball.
I hate the structure is gone, seems like, from basketball, where being here in Utah, I watched the pick and roll, just, and those guys, Carl and John, it was magic to watch, but it was so structured, you know, and these guys today, they just come and do and shoot whenever they want from wherever they want, which is crazy.
It's a lot of freelance.
Hey, I have to tell you guys, I had the pleasure of meeting Donovan Mitchell a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
He is unbelievable. He is, you know, I've never met a superstar. I've met players, but I've never met a superstar in his prime. Well, actually, I did. his initials is TB, and he works for a TV company, TNT. They're
initials. Oh, you met yes. Charles? You met good old Charles?
He is a man, Charles. He's the man.
He was a jerk back then, Tiki. He was a jerk.
Well, what happened? Would you guys wait? I want to hear the Charles Barkley story. What happened?
Was he playing?
Did you meet him
was
in a bar?
Like
what
recently?
Happened?
I met him in a bar. Back in the day, you only had like one spot where you if you came to play the jazz, you stayed at the Marriott.
Go down
in the Marriott. They had a bar called Gambit. You can walk in there on any given night and see everybody. Magic, Kareem, or you know.
Yeah, everybody. Well, they didn't have a lot of places where you could go drink, right? It wasn't
not Utah, especially.
And the players wasn't so hands off like they are now.
I hear you.
Back then, I was in there talking to Ron Anderson, who played for the 76ers at the time. Who
he was a shooter. I know exactly. I got you.
Right, Ron, Ben Coleman, and Charles came in.
All
right, me and Ron talking. Ron offered to buy me a drink, and Charles turned around and said something crazy.
That's Charles.
On the radio.
Did he really?
Oh, that's disappointing. I have to get on Charles about that.
You text him. Tell him what happened.
I was crushed because that's why I was there. I was there to see Charles. I was love Charles.
I'll tell you, in the years that have subsequently passed, Fred, we appreciate you.
Now he's buying everybody drinks.
Exactly.
Thanks, Fred.
Charles is a great dude. And,
That's what I thought.
Obviously, he's gotten a little bit older.
I can see Charles being a complete jerk when he
back,
was young.
Back then?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can see as well.
That.
He's calm.
Short fuse.
He's calmed
aggressive.
A lot. He's calmed a lot.
Yeah, he's just a jovial.
That's right.
I mean, he's
fun.
Enjoying his life.
He's
going to
say whatever's on his mind.
Which is why I like him.
Which is probably why Fred got had a little
But why would he intercede? Ron Anderson's trying to buy him a drink. What the hell's Charles Barkley got to say
know.
About
maybe
it. Why is he worried about Ron Anderson?
Maybe Ron owed him some money or something. I don't know. Don't buy that guy a
play
drink.
Play craps on the plates?
You owe me 50.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, coming up. So we had the discussion yesterday about Baylor and Oklahoma and Utah and how that sequence could possibly play out. We got a little indication last night what the committee's thinking. We'll talk college playoff rankings next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So we're going to shake it up a little bit here, get to the college football, the rankings, the updated thoughts, and everything that residually came out of last night. But I want to at least give you our poll question pertaining to what we've been talking about so far. And that is, you know, which of the sports here, as I pulled up on our Twitter handle, at Tiki and Tierney. Mike, maybe you can give us an update of the votes here. I'm going to give it to everybody. It is short. It is sweet. Which of the four majors has changed the most over the last 20 years? And you have four options. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey. So which of the four majors has changed the most? Mike will get those percentages in a little bit here, but it's pretty interesting just to see the myriad responses, the acceptance, the denial. It's interesting.
We're getting a little bit of basketball and football. I think football might be I voted football when I did it and retweeted it. I think football might be the one because it feels real as you watch the game. It just feels so different, even from 15 years ago.
Yep.
Right. I told you the story from when I got concussed. My last season playing the Cowboys, I was back on the field four plays later.
Yeah, here's some smelling salt.
Exactly.
Suck it up, Tiki.
You all right? Where are we? What day is it? Well, yeah. We all went play on Sundays.
What
so.
Day is it? Hey, it's Sunday. We played Sunday. It's Sunday,
right?
It's Sunday.
Exactly. So, like, football feels different because the physicality is kind of pushed out of it. But, like, X's and O's-wise, it's got to be basketball. It's got because football, we're just talking about the X's, like the contact.
It's your ferocity
of it. Yeah, the ferocity of
it. The danger.
Whereas basketball, like how you design plays and the pace of play and, you know, protecting the paint, like all the what happens between the court has changed a lot.
You're going to suck me back into this conversation because I want to add something about baseball now. I could challenge you, but I can actually get a little geeky and say, yeah, I hear you and I agree with you. But now when you incorporate how much baseball's changed, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where there were, even in the American League with the DH since 1973, with Ron Blumberg being the first DH, where there was like, you know, a multiple soft spots in a batting order. You know, maybe the second spot, certainly 8 and 9, right. Maybe even 7.
Yeah.
Now everybody can take you 425 feet, sometimes the opposite way.
Yeah,
bullpen usage, pitch counts.
Yeah.
So there's an argument to be made probably for every sport. I'm sure hockey enthusiasts, true hockey purists, could, you know, dig in deep and educate us a bit as well. So, all right, educate us on last night. I thought we had a great conversation yesterday. The merits of Baylor, if certain things happen, Baylor versus Oklahoma. I'm all in on Utah at this point. I understand. I didn't hear it. I read about it, that Finebaum pretty much denounced them this morning. I understand Paul Finebaum, who's you know, obviously pretty good in SEC and all that.
He said something about Dabo, too, that Dabo had to respond to.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I think it was yesterday or a couple of days ago.
I didn't see that.
Maybe Samter can find it and we can discuss it. But for those who missed it, and if you don't have social media, you can easily find this. Ohio State stays at number one. Remember, yep. They jumped LSU last week. LSU stays at number two. Clemson is number three. Those are the three undefeated teams still left in college football right now, all 12-0 heading into their championship weekends this weekend. Georgia's is number four. They're the top four, so essentially stay unchanged from last week. The big difference is Utah moves up a slot to number five. Oklahoma moves up a slot to number six. Mm. And Baylor jumps up two spots to number two.
Bumps
up two spots to number seven,
yep,
which puts them in striking distance.
It does. We thought they might be around eight or nine yesterday. Yep. That extra spot up does give them a puncher's chance. Like, keep going.
Gives them a lot. Alabama, for those who are interested, fell seven spots.
They should have. First time they're out of the top 10. They should be. The
all
defense
the way
was horrendous.
Down to number 12. Their bowl game will be interesting because it won't be a Power Six. What's it called? What are they called?
The New Year's Six bowls.
Yeah, the New Year's Six. And I guarantee you, a lot of those guys are not going to want to play.
Interesting. Ooh, you think maybe some bailout for the NFL? Literally take a pass and not play. Boy, that's never. Saban's never had a deal
never
with
had
that because
he
was playing for something. That would be really interesting.
Don't be surprised if that happens.
Oh, wow.
But we'll see.
Wow,
it brings us back to the conversation that we had yesterday. And the scenario that I set up, that is Baylor finding a way to beat Oklahoma, get a revenge game on their only loss of the season was to Oklahoma, a game which they had in hand at half and then let it slip away. And Oklahoma give credit for a great comeback. They can avenge their only loss, but it's out of their control. Because if Utah wins, the way that this is set up,
here we go.
Utah's in.
That's right.
It is what it is.
Like I said yesterday.
If Utah wins, Utah's in. But if Baylor has to hope that they beat Oklahoma and beat them rather convincingly, and Utah loses. That's the only way they get into the Final Four.
I want to play something for you. Talk about conference importance and how much value they attach there. Here's Rob Mullins on that.
We look at teams' resumes. And so when we're talking about Utah, for example, we're looking at Utah's resume and looking at every game they play and comparing it to the teams around them, whether that be Georgia or Oklahoma or Baylor. That's what we're doing. We're not discussing conferences.
All right, and that is from the College Football Facebook playoff page right there. That's where we got the sound from.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, listen, I understand, and I get it.
I mean, they have to say that. They can't say Utah is in a weaker conference. The Pac-12 has not nearly lived up to, you know, the strength of schedule of some of the other conferences, and therefore that's why they fall behind, you know, Georgia potentially.
They don't have to say it, but just based on where they're ranked, they're saying it.
They are
without saying it.
That's right.
You know how they view each conference, and that's good. You're not going to get on the air and just denigrate and eviscerate, you know, the softness of a conference, but based on the seedings or, you know, the tiers, the layers where they're slotted here, you can extrapolate everything you need to know. And I understand that Utah has no national imprint, no cachet. I know that people aren't going to really want to watch Utah outside of the beautiful state of Utah.
Well, I mean,
you know what? Watch Utah play and come back and talk about their defense.
Yeah, the biggest.
Just watch their defense play.
I agree with you.
I'm talking to people just saying Utah. Who the hell's Utah?
Utah's
defense is incredible.
Their defense is good. Their quarterback, Huntley, is pretty good as well.
He's very good. He's been around for a while, too.
That's right. And so,
and their running back's a veteran. He's a stud.
I think from a viewership standpoint, like an interest standpoint, Oklahoma is just more interesting because we know Jalen Hurts. We know his story. And in some ways, the fact that he, you know, got supplanted by Tua at Alabama and then did the noble thing and hung around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Waited till he was till he graduated, which was in 3 years, and then transferred and got him because he's a graduate transfer. He could play immediately and then is in the Heisman conversation and just reinvented himself. He looked like a different quarterback at Oklahoma. And you throw in all the other skill position players on that team from CeeDee Lamb, their wide receiver, and Kennedy Brooks, who was their running back, who's a good one, hasn't done a ton of yards relative to the other star running backs, mainly because Jalen Hurts has 1,200 yards and 18 touchdowns on the season rushing. You know, forget the fact of what he's done with his arm.
Total touchdowns, 49
total
picks.
Touchdowns. 31 touchdowns. That's 31 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
6 interceptions, 18 rushing touchdowns, and the number one passing efficiency offense in college football.
72% completion percentage.
It's Jalen Hurts, man. He's reinvented himself. And so from a
Huntley's up there too, by the way.
That's right.
I think he's number 2.
Right, but he missed a couple of games. But when you look at the who does the public want to watch?
They want to watch Oklahoma.
They want to watch Oklahoma.
I understand that,
but
that doesn't mean that they're right.
You're right.
It doesn't mean that they're right.
You can argue if Oklahoma and Utah win, Utah deserves it more.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely not going to argue against that. I'm going to co-sign that statement for sure. Let's get Axe update. All right, good stuff there on the college football playoffs coming up next. Kevin Garnett, haven't heard from the Big Ticket a little bit. KG. Weighed in on Kyrie Irving, and it's not favorable. Wow. We'll get to that after Axe update, which is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman.
And this report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. After playing most of the season without Cam Newton, he is reportedly headed for surgery on his injured left foot. Meanwhile, Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones in a walking boot with a sprained ankle and will likely miss Monday's game against the Eagles. So the Giants turn back to two-time Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning. The Mets are reportedly in negotiations with hedge funder Steve Cohen to sell an 80% stake of the team to him. And under the agreement, the Wilpons, Fred Wilpon, would remain as CEO for the next 5 years, and son Jeff Wilpon would remain as COO for that time. The Mets failing to sign free agent pitcher Zach Wheeler, who heads down the turnpike and stays in the NL East, coming to terms with the Phillies on a 5-year deal worth $118 million. The Braves reportedly have inked Cole Hamels to a 1-year, $18 million deal. NBA action tonight. The Bucks, with the NBA's longest winning streak, go for their 13th straight in Detroit. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Hey, Sunday, it's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First up, Baltimore's MVP candidate, the one who's leading the way, Lamar Jackson. And Russell Wilson's right there, but Lamar's still ahead. Takes the show on the road to take on the surging Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a fun matchup, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. That's really fun as well. The Pats welcome the Chiefs to Foxborough. So we got the Ravens, Bills, that's great. And we got the Pats and the Chiefs, that is even greater. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Kevin Garnett's an interesting guy. He's one of those guys who, and you got to respect this, he doesn't just say things to say it.
Yeah.
If Kevin Garnett says something, Kevin Garnett means it.
Yep.
And Kevin Garnett is an old school, real G. I mean, he is an old head. He's built from the same, you know, that same template, that mm-hmm. same mold as the guys from the 80s, for sure.
Yep.
And he was on a variety of topics here, talking about Kyrie Irving, saying that he didn't have the, well, I know, Mike, I know what the word is. It's cojones. I know that. I was trying to work around that.
I mean it's Spanish.
Did you
really
think I didn't know that? Did you really think I didn't know that?
No, he knows.
Yeah, but I feel like because it's in Spanish, we can say it without having to worry about what it means.
Say, what was I going to say? Cajones? He doesn't have the cajones.
Cajones. He doesn't have the basketballs.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have that fortitude. Inside. You know, listen, he doesn't have the cojones to compete in Boston,
yes,
which I thought was really interesting. Boston's a tough town. Boston's a unique town. Philly's tough. New York's tough. Chicago's tough. Boston's different kind of tough, and Boston's tough as well. I do think that Boston fans have been a little softened over the years by the overwhelming success the Pats have delivered to the fan base.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that's true.
So I think that's a little part of it. But he also talked about how how Kevin Durant should have picked the Knicks over the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting stuff here for the Big Ticket.
It was. Now, the question is that really true? It's his opinion,
in his mind,
obviously.
It is, sure. I mean, there's no right or wrong. But it's his opinion.
But let's look at Kyrie Irving.
Like, right.
So Kyrie Irving was in a horrible situation, at least in his mind, in Cleveland. And he wanted out from underneath LeBron James, and he forced his way by basically saying he wasn't going to show up. I mean, this happened. Remember, this happened like right before camp,
mm-hmm.
The year, and he got traded. to the Boston Celtics, and it felt like, okay, it's a good start for him. He's going to have a chance to go own his, not own, but like own the locker room, be the alpha guy with a bunch of young players and mold them and be the leader that maybe LeBron helped him become.
Yeah.
And that first year, it felt like it was okay. And then he got hurt, and the young kids kind of ran out on their own and did great things and got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They ultimately fell short in that series. But it was like, oh, man, when Kyrie comes back, think about how great this is going to be. But the worst thing that happened for Kyrie in Boston is that he got hurt that first year, because it made those young players say, we don't need Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like a little bit of that bite of that pie, right? I got a chance to thrive. I feel empowered, man. And now all of a sudden Kyrie comes back. And Gordon Hayward comes back, and those minutes start to get short. The bench gets long.
Shot distribution changes.
And these guys are like, dude, without you,
yeah,
we went to the Eastern Conference Finals. With you, we can't even have a conversation in the locker room. What's going on?
And that first year, Kyrie was great in Boston.
Of course
he was. The first year was fantastic.
And so people are changing the narrative about what happened with Kyrie there. Yes, some of it is Kyrie, but Kyrie's that way. It's his personality.
Yeah.
He's surly. He's sometimes too smart for the room.
He's a loner.
He's a little bit of a loner. He can be aloof, but he's a great player.
Yeah.
At the same time, those young guys started maybe too soon to feel their mojo, right? And yes, it was Kyrie, but it was also them. And so you can't put it all on Kyrie why the experiment in Boston didn't work, because ultimately what happened is that Kyrie got unhappy. And so as opposed to wanting to stay there and finish out his career with a smart coach like Brad Stevens, he decided, dude, I'm not happy here. I want to go somewhere where I get along with the guys in the locker room. And that place happens to be the Nets, because his buddy Kevin Durant came and joined him. So I think I hear what Kevin Garnett is saying, and it makes sense if you don't really dig into what happened. Kyrie, at this point, as a free agent and someone who's won a championship and established himself as one of the greats in the game right now, has the right to do whatever the hell he wants.
I don't begrudge him for finally controlling his own destination. I'm with you. Listen, he was drafted by the Cavs, and then as Tiki just outlined, he was, you know, last second. David Blatt was hired to coach a team, a young nucleus, and all of a sudden LeBron's thrust back, which you would think on most levels Kyrie would embrace, because he's such a selfless superstar, especially at that age.
Yep.
He was at the apex of his powers. You know, but I get it. You know, Kyrie was starting to feel himself. They were slow. I think they had 32 wins. They went from like doormat to, all right, we're getting a little bit better. And, you know, we've seen other situations where young stars kind of wrestle for that big piece of the rope, and it gets a little contentious. It gets a little uncomfortable. But aside from that, okay, here's something else that KG said that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe if the Knicks can ever hold up their end of the bargain, this ties into what KG is saying, and I'll read it for you in a minute. Maybe this changes the way Kyrie feels about Brooklyn, just like it did the way he felt about the Cavs when LeBron came back, that took his shine. Or at least in his own mind, it took, and I guess on some level, it took some of a shine. Here's what KG says about the pairing of Durant and Irving to the Nets. I thought they should have done the Knicks, if I'm being honest, Garnett said. I'm not a Knicks fan by far, but if they come to the city and dominate, man, the first superstar to hit New York and be vibing is going to be bigger than life. Remember, I said that. Any piece of hope in this city is going to soar. People are waiting, end quote. Now, maybe for the duration of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant's career with the Brooklyn Nets, whatever Kevin Garnett said, which, by the way, I fully believe to be true, doesn't apply, because the Knicks were made a doormat.
Yeah.
Unless you tell us tomorrow that Dolan's going to sell the team, like you told us the Mets are going to sell the team, and it comes to fruition, like it's coming to fruition with the Mets, then things might change with the Knicks. But until that happens, the Knicks are on a trajectory to nowhere, because they have five power forwards, they got the wrong coach, whatever. The Knicks are miles away from being average. They're the worst team in the NBA. So during their prime, I don't think that they will be eclipsed by any Knick team that takes away their shine.
Yeah.
But if they do,
if the Knicks do,
I could see Kyrie Irving having a problem with that as well.
Yeah,
I really can.
Do you think he's there for the long haul?
No, you asked me this the other day. I know.
Yeah,
his career.
KD is there for the long haul? I'm confused now. Durant.
No.
So you don't think Kyrie Irving,
nope,
or Kevin Durant are in Brooklyn for the long haul.
No, here's what I think, and they're vastly different paths. I think, and this is kind of weird to project because it's rare that this happens. I think Kyrie Irving is going to retire prematurely, is what I think. That's what I think. I think Kyrie Irving is juggling a lot.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but I can totally see it now that you say it.
Yep, he's juggling. I'm not implying anything below board, but he's a deep thinker. He doesn't seem to love the business of the NBA, the attention. He loves getting paid. I don't blame him there. But he doesn't love what comes with it, and he seems to be somebody who doesn't need basketball. I could see him retiring early. Durant needs basketball. He's wired differently.
And he loves it, and he wants to be the best.
And he wants to get 30,000 career points, which if his Achilles is okay and he plays 8 or 9 more years, he certainly will. He'll be top 5 all time, maybe higher. I think Durant, I don't see him going back to Oklahoma City, but what did I say a couple weeks ago? If Seattle ever gets a franchise again, that's where he started. People, you know, played for a year for the Sonics. Or maybe he goes to the Wizards. I think he's going to wind up somewhere different, too.
Interesting.
I really do.
Yeah, it's interesting. And look, we don't know because we don't know what they look like together. We can speculate what they're going to be like together, but we have no idea what they...
No, we don't. How do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be free-flowing. It's going to be a little bit different than it was with the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant. It's not that Steph Curry and Kyrie are similar, but at Golden State, it was movement. It was, all right, KD, if you're hot, it's on you today, right? And I don't think it'll ever be that way in Brooklyn with Kyrie.
Because he dribbles too much.
Exactly.
He dribbles, he pounds.
Before LeBron, we know this story. He would gladly not give it up at all. Mm-hmm. He had games with no assist or 1 or 2 assists.
Yeah, one was with none. Exactly.
So the ball's not flowing. So I think it could get a little, like, grindy, if that makes... that's the right word.
I don't think that their relationship will clash, but I think what could happen...
They're on court relationship. That's what
there won't be the symmetry from the rest of the components of the team that I believe is a fully harmonious situation.
Yeah.
You know, he's ball dominant, he's dribble dominant, as we know, and, you know, Kevin Durant, we got to see where he's at physically.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope for basketball fans, I wish if he came to the Knicks, of course, but even though we picked the Nets and I was disappointed, I want to see Kevin Durant get back on the court and be Kevin Durant, man. I love the NBA. I want to see him play well.
Yeah.
But there's the Achilles, and that's a problem. And if he's 85% or 90% of what he was, and Kyrie's banged up as he is always, and you got this fractured or other guys on the Nets who are winning without Kyrie, and they were losing with Kyrie, and then once Kyrie comes back and they start to lose again, I just think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns with the Nets. And I hate to say this, because you know I really like Kenny Atkinson, their coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have the right coach, not schematically, to deal with the egos. I don't know.
It's a harder thing than I think we let on, right? I mean, you almost have to be a former player that's not too far removed from playing.
Or an old sage vet with a lot of bling when you walk in that ring, in that room, and the ring, you know, the non-literal ring. Here we go, let's play. This is where I'll lead you.
Right,
you know, Riley could do that with the Heat when he was coaching. Pop could do it now. And very few can.
But as much as Riley, I mean
Riley with the Heat, at the back end with the Heat before Spoelstra took over.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean? He can walk in and he can tell Alonzo Mourning.
But I still think
I got you.
That the player
going to win.
But the player then was different. The player's so different now.
Yeah, but but
the
Riley,
money changed. Like their perception of themselves has changed.
Yeah,
like
but Riley's looked at it as almost a mafia godfather,
that's true.
Which is respected in the NBA community.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like
I know
it transcends
saying.
Color, it transcends age. Yeah. It's like that guy's a pimp, man.
Yeah,
Pat Riley's
but he's rare.
But he's not coming back to coach, so it's a moot point.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nobody else like Pat Riley.
Yeah,
that has that juice, that style. There's only one Pat Riley. I mean, Phil Jackson's aging out, and he doesn't have that coolness anyway. Mm-hmm. He seems, you know, just with the whole posse comedy, disconnected to the youth of the game. So it's you got to be in that good wheelhouse of being current, being a little bit of a disciplinarian, hold the guys accountable, It's tough.
Yeah. Well, we thought Brad Stevens was that, and we saw him struggle a little bit.
Yeah, but they're doing well now.
Because Kyrie's not there. they don't have that ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you almost it's hard not to like pursue the guy with the ego. The star with it's hard not to because they're a star. I mean, they're mm-hmm. superstars.
Of course.
They're the best in the league. So it's hard not to pursue them.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the Celtics over the last 3 years, if you aggregate all the things without Kyrie, they're better when he's not there. And he's one of the best players in the league.
Can't disprove that.
That doesn't make sense logically.
He's one of the best players in the league, but he's one of the few best players in the league who really only impacts one aspect of the game. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the other best players, whether it's elite rebounding, mm-hmm. elite shot blocking, you know, help defense, or other like Doncic. Is his vision? I don't want to put mm-hmm. you know what I think of Doncic. Yeah. He's incredible, but
Luka.
Oh God! While Kyrie might be a better. I know he's got a better handle. He might be a better scorer. Doncic has superior court vision, so you can't even say that Kyrie does more than Doncic. You know, Giannis better rebounder, better. So he's a one dimensional player, and he's got to have the right pieces around him. That was interesting from KG. All right, coming up, Ron Rivera out. Cam getting surgery. Oof, what do we make of the Panthers? Who's coaching them next year? We'll talk about that coming up.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.